MFIP has one goal, get welfare recipients working. Everyone agrees by that measure MFIP is a success. 25% of Minnesotans on welfare at the beginning of this year are now working. The focus on work is driven by congressional reform, which says federal funding will be cut unless states prove they are moving people from welfare to work. To accomplish that, Minnesota lawmakers designed a carrot and stick approach. People who go to work will continue to get assistance, but those who refuse to take a job will quickly find their assistance reduced or cut off. There is also a ticking clock. From now on, nobody gets more than a total of 5 years on welfare. When the time's used up, the aid stops.
This card is a fast and easy way for you to receive your food or cash benefits.
The dozen or so people in the waiting room at Clay County Social Services ignore the television in the corner as it repeatedly plays educational videos about MFIP. Clay County has a little more experience with MFIP than most. It was one of the pilot counties where the work component of MFIP was tested. While MFIP forces people on welfare to focus on work, it also demands social workers pay more attention to the needs of those people, helping solve problems with daycare, transportation, or any of a multitude of problems that may keep someone out of the workforce.
Our staff is almost pulling their hair out.
Joe Peterson supervises Clay County caseworkers. He says under the new system, each caseworker has fewer clients, but is working harder because clients need more individual attention.
But that's something we'll gladly pay the price on, if we want to call it that, because it's really exciting to see what it does for recipients. We see hope where before we saw sort of just despair.
Peterson says under the old AFDC system, work was effectively penalized. If you earned $100, $100 was taken out of your welfare benefits. Recipients had no incentive to work, and social workers had no incentive to care if they did. That's changed. Now, success is measured by how many people get jobs. Julie is considered an MFIP success. She's working part-time, starting a home-based business, and raising two small children. Julie went on assistance when her marriage fell apart a couple of years ago. She says welfare made it possible for her to survive the transition, but she's not been a passive participant. Julie has something most welfare recipients don't, a college education.
I make spreadsheets on my computer. Okay, now, this income, what does that mean for what I have to earn, and then, you know, just to plot a way out. And my gosh, I mean, not everybody can do that.
Julie says she did not notice a dramatic change when MFIP started. She says welfare is still more about paperwork than long-range planning.
The system does not tell you, okay, if you do this and this and this, then you can get off of this faster. It's just, here's what we do, that's the, and they're very nice. No one ever treated me disrespectfully, which was really amazing. I never felt slimy, you know. But I also didn't really get a whole lot of coaching or mentoring. Maybe they systematically can't, you know, that. But where somebody say, okay, here's a way, you know, if you really focus on doing this and get the income up in this area, then you can, you know, move to this next step.
Limited one-on-one attention for clients may be one of the main weaknesses of MFIP, according to Sean Fremstead. Fremstead is an attorney with the St. Paul-based Legal Services Advocacy Project, which just completed a statewide study of MFIP.
In some counties, you see ratios of job counselors to welfare recipients that are as much as 100 welfare recipients to a job counselor. And it isn't really reasonable, I think, to expect that a job counselor is going to be able to give kind of the individual attention, the job coaching that's needed if they've got to work with 100 clients.
Fremstead says judging the success of MFIP based simply on how many people move from welfare to work may not be an accurate assessment, because it doesn't indicate how many of those people have moved out of poverty.
I mean, ultimately, it comes down to the well-being of children, who are two-thirds of the state's welfare population. And I think that's the real true measure of the success or failure of welfare reform, is whether we increase the well-being of low-income kids.
Fremstead says spending per client varies greatly among counties, raising questions about equality. There's also a great disparity in private sector involvement. In Clay County, for example, a program provides clothing for recipients, and a local bank has set up a loan fund to help people with bad credit buy cars. But those programs happened because the county took the initiative. Many other counties provide far fewer support services. Harvey Stalwick says that's why giving too much control to counties may be dangerous. Stalwick heads the social work program at Concordia College in Moorhead and has been studying MFIP since its conception. He says as a pilot project, MFIP was a very good blend of welfare and work. He fears as it became a statewide program, the emphasis shifted disproportionately to work.
Get people out, get them into a job, bye-bye. End of welfare as we know it. That's pretty calloused. That's pretty objective.
Stalwyk says MFIP is one of the best state welfare reform programs he's seen, but it's still a short-term solution to a chronic problem. He says at a time of record low unemployment, it's easy to move people into the workforce. He wonders what will happen when people use up the 5 years of welfare benefits they're allowed.
If we have a continued buoyant economy in 5 years' time, it won't be so dramatic when those caps on the program cease. If the last round of jitters on the stock market, the corrections, continue, we have no idea of knowing what it's going to be like in 4 or 5 years' time. And if we are facing a downturn in this economy, we're not prepared. We no longer have a safety net.
State officials say they have no numbers to show how welfare spending has changed under MFIP, but they agree the state is spending more, even though fewer people are on welfare. They hope investing that money in the short term will mean far less welfare spending in the future. Most everyone involved with MFIP is pleased with its early success at putting people to work, but most agree it's too early to tell if MFIP will solve the underlying problems of poverty. Dan Gunderson, Minnesota Public Radio, Moorhead.